rich man and Lazarus. And then I always pictured it that the two of them went to sleep one night, and it says of the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Now, if he went to sleep that night and died in the night, that was a bad morning. And so we have all this morning got a good morning. A little bit rainy out there. It's cooler. And you know something else? God wants to bless us today. God's heart is toward us. He loves us. And that's why we're here. All right. Who has a song? Well, we're primarily off the back of the hymn sheet. Does anybody need a hymn sheet? I've got extras here.
Which one?
Back. How about a choice? Yes, what number?
46.
Glutty, I need a
here, and I discovered these two clocks don't agree, but it's always now. It's time to be saved right now. We're going to be talking about time and the absence of time this morning, because someday time will end and there'll be no more clocks, and I'll be so glad. It'll be too bad for some people. It'll be too late for them. All right, how about another choice? I got bad eyesight, so if I miss somebody else help. Yes. What number?
13.
13, all right. Let's look at number 13. That's a wonderful song. I don't know if I've ever heard it sung in a Sunday school before, but it's what we're here for. Number 13.
Man of sorrows, what a...
sing the first and the last verse of number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me.
Unchanging. Remember that expression. Loved with a love that's unchanging, because that's going to be important in our lesson this morning. All right. Anybody else? If I don't get a choice from the front row, we'll take a choice from a different row. No choice? Are we sung out already?
How about 47?
47. All right. Number 47.
When he cometh,
when he cometh.
Are you all going to be there? Are you? We just said little children who love their Redeemer are the jewels. Are you a jewel this morning? You know what a jewel does? A jewel reflects light. People like jewels because they're nice to look at. They reflect light. And if we're one of Jesus' jewels, we reflect His light. Think about that. All right. We have time for one more.
40.
Good. We got one. I got a choice in the front row, and it's on the back. On the back of the hymn sheet. Good. Number 40. We'll sing the whole thing.
Jesus loved me, this I know. Yes, he blessed me.
Ceiling or whatever, and you know, I've seen some people really in love. They were focused and they were excited. If you realized how much Jesus loves you, you'd be excited. You should be overwhelmed. He loves you so much. Let's thank Him. Our God and Father, we thank You this morning that we are assembled together by Thy goodness and in Thy love. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, who lives for us, who's coming for us. We ask You this day that we might appreciate more Your goodness, Your faithfulness, and all that You've done for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there was a memory verse. Anybody learn the memory verse for this Sunday? You know, every week you get a Sunday, most of you anyway, get a Sunday school paper, and there is a memory verse. How many learned the memory verse for this Sunday? Anybody? Anybody know it? Anybody want to say it? I don't see any volunteers. Very good. Can you say the verse? Very good. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. Anybody else? That's an easy verse.
John.
Good.
Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6.
Okay. Go ahead.
I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6.
Right. Anybody else?
No, I'll be good. Go ahead.
I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6.
Very good. Anybody else? I mean, I remember when I was young, if I went to the trouble of learning the verse, I expected to get a chance to say it. But I understand some people don't value those things quite the same way. This is a wonderful verse. I remember when I first noticed, it was in the Sunday school paper, it was about a month ago, and I was thinking about this conference, and I thought, well, I wonder if I'm going to get asked to take the Sunday school. And I looked at that verse, and I thought, what am I going to say about that verse? I'd never talked about that verse before. Never considered it. Never seen it in a Sunday school paper before. But let's look at it. It's a wonderful verse. And I hope before we leave here this morning that we'll all agree that it is a wonderful verse. Malachi. By the way, this book is just full of wonderful verses. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament that makes it easy to find. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. And I'm going to read the whole verse because if we understand it, understand this verse, the whole verse, it makes a lot more sense. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, when God speaks of Jacob to Israel, he's reminding them of their failure and his faithfulness. He says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What God is talking about is his mercy. You know, Malachi is the last book in the Bible, and God had been speaking to his people for hundreds of years, and had the people of God always been obedient to God? Who knows the answer to that? Have God's people always been obedient? What do you think? Have God's people, the people of God, always been obedient?
No.
Oh, no. Not any better than us. Have we always been obedient? Well, you know, God said, I am the Lord. The reason God had not wiped his people out, consumed them, is because of what he was. And so we want to talk about what God is. And he's unchanged. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now I'm going to give you a little illustration this morning. Have you ever seen that character before? That you recognize that person? No? You recognize that person? You think so? No? Recognize that person? Okay. Who did recognize that person? You think you did? Yeah. Who is it?
You?
Yeah. 60 years ago. I changed, and most people here didn't recognize me. Most of the people in the front row here didn't recognize me. I don't blame them. I've changed in 60 years. Do you realize that your parents and your grandparents used to look sort of like you? They've changed too. Everything in this life changes. Let me give you some more examples of change. Now, we all like these things, apples and bananas. Suppose I put this apple and banana, suppose I put them up here on the stage here, and I just let them sit there for a year. We just leave the apple and the banana on the stage to sit for a year. Are they going to look the same?
No.
No, the apple's going to shrivel up and turn brown. And the banana?
it'll get worse than that. It'll turn black, and after a while, start getting attracting flies, and the skin will split, and it'll rot. Bananas don't last well at all. They're called perishables. They're things that don't last. They don't change. I mean, they do change. They change quickly sometimes. Now, I've got something else here. This is a local product picked up on the road down there. If I put this up on the stage and we leave it on the stage for a year, what's it going to look like? It'll look the same. Yeah? Rocks don't change much. They have a reputation that way. People build things of rocks. They build roads out of rocks. They build buildings out of rocks because rocks are considered to be stable. They don't change much. Actually, you know something about rocks? Rocks can change. You put this in a really hot fire, a really, really hot fire, you could actually burn it up. It would change into whatever rocks change into when they're burning. You know. I don't know what you call it, depends what's in it, you know, but it would change. Now, rocks can be vaporized, they can be exploded, but they're considered pretty stable. Now, God says, I am the Lord, I don't change. And that's nice. Let's look at a verse to start with. We talked about rocks. We say a rock, by the way, before we go any further, we'll say a rock is, it's not, rocks aren't everlasting and eternal, but they are enduring. Enduring. Rocks do endure. And so let's turn to some interesting verses in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Here is a verse. Let's take a look first. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge," or what's a refuge is another word for a shelter. Right now we're in a refuge from rain. It's raining a little bit outside, or it was for a while anyway. We got a roof over us. We're in a refuge here. We're in a shelter. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, when God met Moses out in the wilderness, he introduced himself as the I am that I am. The one who doesn't change. A God who is eternal. And so Moses here is speaking to the people of God, and he says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And so we got two more things to put up on the board here. Eternal. And everlasting. Okay? Eternal and everlasting. Now, there's things that go with that. God says the eternal God is your refuge, your shelter. Now, if I have an eternal God for my shelter, what kind of a shelter have I got? Do I have a temporary shelter or eternal shelter? Which kind? Come on. Eternal. Of course. Because God is eternal, I have an eternal shelter. So I'm going to put this word up here. I have an eternal shelter. Or refuge. But it says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, you know, some people saw me last night walking around with a cat. I found a cat out by the motel out there, and I was carrying it around. I was supporting it in my arms. So, we have an everlasting support. All because of God being eternal and everlasting. Now, a few days ago, I got a word through the grapevine, so to speak, that I was going to be asked to speak about this verse. And I started thinking about all the things that we have from God which are everlasting, eternal, enduring. I'm putting another word up here. Endless. And there's other ways to describe them. And so I started going through Scripture, and I came up with a list of over 40 things that we have, we're told about in the Bible, that are eternal, that belong to us who belong to God. Eternal, everlasting. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to ask somebody to suggest what they might be. Who can think of something else in the Bible that's eternal? What? Eternal life. I was sure that somebody was going to mention that. You're right. Eternal life. We get eternal life because God doesn't change. He's eternal. We get eternal life. So I'll put that down here. Eternal life. That was the easy one. But I'm glad you thought of it. Okay. Well, by the way, who knows a verse? We need to have scriptures for these things. Who knows a verse about eternal life?
John 3:16.
Very good. Everlasting life, eternal life, same thing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or if you were to say that verse in another language like French or Spanish, the word would be eternal. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you something. In our Bible, in the Old Testament, we use the word Lord for Jehovah, where God had revealed Himself to Moses. But when I was up in Montreal some years ago, I wanted a souvenir. And I bought this. Who can read this? Who can read this? I know Jim Hyland can read it. Go ahead. That's French.
Better get somebody else. I've been out in Montreal for years.
Right here, John.
Okay, go ahead, Grace.
Eternal praise.
Well, it says Lui L'Eternel. That means praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Lui L'Eternel. Lui L'Eternel. Because in French, the name for the Lord is L'Eternel. You get a French Bible, and it says, L'Eternel est mon berger. The Lord is my shepherd. The Eternal One. The One that doesn't change. Just think what it is to have a shepherd that never changes. He's always good. Always watching. L'Eternel est mon berger. That's what David says in the French Bible. Lui L'Eternel. Praise the Lord. Well, so we have an eternal God, and we read about that, by the way, and I didn't put it down. It says the eternal God is your refuge. So, of course, we have eternal God, eternal shelter, eternal support, eternal life. What else do we have that's eternal? Or everlasting, or endless, or never ends? I'm just going to get a short list here. Yes? Okay, you give up. Okay. I'll take suggestions from the older ones.
Eternal Spirit.
Eternal Spirit, absolutely. It comes from the book of Hebrews. The Eternal Spirit.
Eternal Day.
Eternal what?
Day.
Day, all right. That's one that was not on my list. Congratulations.
Well suggested by this one, Dan.
Yes. What's that? Death? Yes, in the sense that the Bible doesn't speak it that way, but it does talk about eternal destruction and eternal punishment. So maybe we'll put down eternal punishment, because that's the idea behind death. Eternal power. The other one's wasn't on my list. Thank you. Eternal power and Godhead, the Scripture says. How about another one?
Eternal love.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, in Jeremiah it says, "Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love." And we sang about it this morning. I'm surprised somebody didn't mention it sooner. Unchanging love, remember? Eternal love, absolutely. What else?
Eternal redemption.
Eternal redemption. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, what's that mean? Eternal redemption. The Bible tells us we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He has bought us. He has paid for us with His blood, and He's done it forever. That's what eternal redemption is. Did it once for all.
Finished.
He did it before I was born. He did it before I sinned. Eternal redemption for us. All right. Wonderful. How about another one? Just call it out.
Strength.
Strength. Absolutely. The Bible talks in a couple of places about eternal strength. Absolutely. Eternal home, absolutely. It says in Scripture as well. I'm getting ahead of myself down here. Eternal home. Wasn't it wonderful we have eternal strength? Sometimes we feel pretty weak. But the Bible talks about us having eternal strength in God. And it's in the book of Isaiah. We have an eternal home. I will take one or two more, because I got more things to talk about.
Glory.
Eternal glory, absolutely. It's mentioned a couple times in Scripture. Eternal glory. What else?
Eternal inheritance.
Inheritance. And there was one else I missed here. Eternal grace.
Praise.
Praise, absolutely. Okay. And we'll stop there. We don't have any more on the board here anyway. Inheritance. Now, you say, oh, eternal praise. You know something? Praise is a wonderful thing. We all like to get praise, don't we? And a matter of fact, if we're in a good situation, we like to give praise. It's enjoyable. It does something for us. But sometimes we appreciate things by contrast. How many here would like to be around eternal grumbling? Or eternal complaining? Or eternal screaming? That's what hell's going to be like. We're going to be in a place of eternal praise. You know, praise isn't always noisy. Some praise is quiet. Praise can be beautiful. In heaven it is, of course. Eternal praise. These are the wonderful things that belong to us who believe, because God is everlasting, eternal, enduring. And you know... I'm going to tell you about a story about a man. This is a sad story. Let's read it. Luke. We'll read it very quickly, though. Luke chapter 12, I think it is. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16, and Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? You know, people spend so much time and energy trying to get things in this life, and then they lose it. I'm going to ask you, what are you living for today? Are you living for now or for eternity? Are you living in appreciation of, in anticipation of, in enjoyment of these wonderful things that belong to the children of God forever? Or are you just like a person with his nose to the floor looking at the stuff down this world? That's what this man was. And his neighbors probably thought he was wonderful. Man, that guy's a good businessman. He's diligent. He thinks ahead. He plans ahead. But he didn't plan for eternity. Now, I have something else here to show you. You know what that man got for all his planning? What's that? What is it? Yes. What is it?
It's
a gravestone. Yeah, that's a gravestone. That's a gravestone. That's my representation of a gravestone anyway. That's all that man... I don't even know if man got that, frankly. He planned and planned and planned, and he had this all this property and these crops and all these wonderful plans, and he died. And you know, people in this world, they work for so many things. They say, I'm going to be great and do great things, and they die, as the poet says, and lie embalmed in praise. A lot of good it does them. What was the man's name? What was his name? Well, I don't know if he had a gravestone, but I know I can tell you what God called him. Thou fool. Would you like that on your gravestone if you ever died? Thou fool. He was a man who lived for just the things of this world. He didn't pay attention to the eternal God. He wasn't concerned with what was eternal. Live for eternity. That man made a big mistake. He forgot about something. He forgot about eternity. Boys and girls, men and women, this life is just the beginning. This is the seed plot of eternity. Live for eternity. Enjoy what is really life. What is really yours. Live for eternity. This poor man, the poor fool, he died. And he lost it all. Forever. He lost all of this and more. I told you there were 40 things in my list, and we got two more added this morning I hadn't remembered. There's only a 5, 10, about 15, 16, 17 up there. God has so much for us. You know, I think of the... when I got married, people gave us wedding gifts. And one person gave us a text that hung in our house for many years. I'll show it to you. It's not the same text, by the way. Because the text they gave us faded. It looked terrible. It was hand-done. And as it faded, the paint got splotchy and so on. And I finally took it down. But I recreated it just this past week. What does this say? Who can read that? Yes. Thou remainest. This text hung in our home for years. Not this physical, but one like it, only bigger. And it was a big comfort to me because a lot of things in our lives didn't seem to go right. But we have one who always remains. God remains. He doesn't change. You know, it's interesting, back in Deuteronomy, the children, if you still have your Bible there, look real briefly. Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's another interesting expression. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Deuteronomy 32, 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, their final end. Where's your final end going to be? It's going to be in eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Consider your final end. And consider the one who determines it. What does it say next? The next verse here? How should one chase a thousand? This is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. How should one chase a thousand and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up, for their rock is not our rock. You know, even then, the children of Israel could rejoice in a God who didn't change. And they didn't know that hundreds of years later, God would say to them, I am the Lord, I change not. He was reminding them of who he was and why they had not been consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Here it says, their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. You know, there's lots of people who envy Christian security, but they don't want Christ. A lot of people, I've had people say to me, I wish I had your faith. And I say, I wish you had my Savior. Because it's not our faith. Faith is not no good without an object. We have somebody we can trust forever. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, our time is about up. I want to tell you another story. About 100 years ago, 110 years ago, there was a mission over in China called the China Inland Mission. And they had missionaries in a lot of places in China. And the government in China decided that missionaries were bad. By the way, what is a missionary? You know, I'm afraid sometimes missionaries, we talk about them so rarely that people don't know what missionaries are. What's a missionary? People who go out where?
Around the world.
Around the world and talk about the gospel. Absolutely right. Very good. That's what a missionary is. One day, Sir Wilfrid Grenfell was at a dinner. Now, Wilfrid Grenfell was a missionary. He was a missionary up in the north, northern eastern Canada, Newfoundland, Labrador, in that area. He was at a dinner. And this is a pretty fancy dinner. And he was sitting at the table, and the lady next to him looked at him and says, do I understand, sir, that you are a missionary? And he said, do I understand that you're not? I hope we have a room full of missionaries. They go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus. You can go where he sends you. Anyway, there were missionaries in China with the China Inland Mission Association. And the government said, kill the missionaries. There was a box called the Boxer Rebellion or the Boxer Uprising. And so they started to hunt out the Christians and particularly the missionaries and kill them. Now I want to show you the text that was hanging at that time, I believe, in the office of the China Inland Mission. Not the exact same text, and then obviously this is a plastic frame. They didn't have plastic frames back then. But this is a wonderful text. Read this for us, louder. Can you read that? Kind of funny writing.
The sun stood still, the
iron.
Iron did swing. This God is our God forever and ever.
Yeah. And it gives the scripture references down at the bottom. You know, in the Bible we read about a time when the sun stood still. God did it for his people. Another time when an iron axe head was lost in the water and God made it to come to the top and float. You ever see iron axe head float? I never have. But God can do those things. And it says, the sun stood still. The iron did swim. This God is our God. Forever and ever. Can you say that this morning? This God is my God. Forever and ever. By the way, these texts are for sale. And I can make more. Our time is up. Our time is up. Time goes. Sometime there will be no more time. We will be with God forever. And by the way, about this word enduring, It's the word enduring here. I believe, you know, God calls on us to endure things in this life. Paul said to Timothy, "Thou, my son, endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ." It's a good thing to endure. We appreciate things that have shelf life, that are good longer than maybe we expect them to be. It's a wonderful thing just to endure, because God, that's one of God's characteristics. He makes things that endure. And He can make us to endure as well. Keep that in mind. God appreciates endurance. Let's thank Him now for this time. Our God and Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal Savior, our eternal Shepherd.